Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart, or buckler. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much, Lord. Thank You, Father God, that You do heal the brokenhearted. Thank You, Father God, that You are a present help in our time of trouble, Lord. And You bless those that mourn, Lord. And Father God, You will never leave us or forsake us. So, Father God, we just receive Your peace this morning and Your comfort and Your strength and Your will be done in this service. And thank You so much for Your anointing. We love You and we praise You. You are worthy of our praise. There is none like You. We love You and we praise You. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. You know He is. You know it's true, right? Okay, guys, last week we started this little thing about Psalms 91. Psalms 91 is a very familiar chapter right there in the middle of the book of Psalms. A lot of folks that have never been to church a single day in their life are somewhat familiar with Psalm 91. There's a few of those chapters in the Bible or verses in the Bible that a lot of us have been familiar with from a very early age, like Psalm 23, Psalm 91, John 3:16. Things like that. Well, I want to take a little deeper focus with you guys on Psalms 91. It is such a blessing. And our big takeaway with Psalms 91, guys, listen up, is it's about growing your faith, growing your trust in the Lord. Okay? And in this world, looky here, I know there's a lot of big, strong, smart folks out there, and there's a lot of things that we can accomplish on our own. But listen, there's a lot of things that we cannot handle on our own, okay? We need the Most High God. And when we put our trust in Him, we will not be disappointed. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you, He is our strong tower. He is our fortress. You can try and do it on your own. Like I said, there's a lot of things we can do on our own. But where it's impossible, I would encourage you to lean on the Lord. It doesn't matter what your neighbor said or what your buddy said about Christianity being a crutch or something like that. Man, okay, forget that nonsense, because Christianity is totally, totally a crutch. Yeah. You know? But we're going to lean on the Most High God. We're going to lean on Him, and we're going to be able to overcome. Amen? Because we can do all things through Christ. So real fast, why don't you go ahead and just give Him a little bit of praise. We do have a reason to rejoice. Thank You, Jesus. So listen up, this is no surprise to anybody here, okay, but this world is not fair, but we serve a holy God who is just, and He's going to work everything out, okay, I promise you, okay, we serve a God that does not lie, okay, and He's given us some awesome promises, so we want to dig deep today into a few of those promises, amen? Yeah. Psalm 91 and verse 7 is where we're going to pick up. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You know what? I'm going to start praying that verse over my family every single day. I pray for my family every day, but I want to claim that, and I think we all should claim that for our family. Claim it for yourself. We do live in a world, man, where crazy things happen. I mean, we do. Just look at the newspaper. So much craziness is going on. We don't know if we're going to see our loved ones or not when we leave and go to work in the morning. We don't know if we're ever going to see them again. Okay? But listen, there's one thing you can always count on, and it is the fact that we serve a loving God, and if He allows us to go through something, it is for His glory. Amen? If He allows you to go through a hard time, it is for His glory, and it is for your spiritual growth. Think about this. Do you honestly pray? Do you honestly pray? Okay, let me try and come at it from a different angle. Okay. I know Paul Rupp, myself. I don't pray as sincerely or earnestly. I'm serious with you guys. When things are going perfect in my little world, you know what I mean? I do spend time in the Word. I do spend time in prayer. But there's just something about those hard times that are bigger than me. When you cry out to the Lord, you know what I mean? And God always shows himself faithful. So God does allow us to go through some crazy times. And there is a reason for that. And one of those, what is clear for us to see, let's be honest with ourselves, that a lot of the times we do not pray or spend that quality time with the Lord like we should until our little world is being shaken. And then we reach out to him. And God wants to spend time with us. He wants us to enjoy that relationship with us. And he wants us to be able to have that peace that comes with wrapping our arms around him and being in his loving embrace. Amen. So we live in a world where 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at the other side of you. But listen, our God is faithful. Amen. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. So whether we're talking about God's judgment or some sort of other catastrophe, we're talking about a big, scary, bad situation. Okay? And quite a few of us haven't been in a situation like this, but I know that some of us have been in a situation where you could lose your life at any given moment. People are shooting back at you, different things like that. Okay, listen, God is faithful. Amen? No matter what you're going through, God is faithful. Amen? 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Okay, so we live in a world where Satan hates your guts. Let me just say it like that. Satan hates your guts, man. He hates God's creation. But you know what he hates worse than God's creation? God's people. You know, there's people out there that are not God's children. There are people out there that have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we accept that precious gift, we are now in the family of God. Okay, I'm not talking about perfect people. I'm talking about people like me and you that realize I do need a Savior, that I'm not perfect. I can't do it on my own. I can't get to heaven on my own. And I really, really want to spend eternity in heaven. Amen. So I cry out to the Most High God, and I accept that precious gift of Jesus Christ. And now I'm in the family. And guess what? Satan hates your guts more than ever once you make that decision. Okay, and Satan has a bunch of little tricks, but he uses the same tricks over and over again. And you can sum up Satan like this. He's a liar. He's a thief. He likes to work in fear. He'll come to you as an angel of light. What in the world does that mean? He will deceive you if you're not on your guard, if you're not sober, and I mean spiritually sober, and I do mean the other kind of sober as well. But you know what I mean? When we're sober, Satan can't. We need to be on guard against the attacks of Satan. Does that make sense this morning? So we need to stay in the Word of God. Let me read this verse right here. John 10:10. Look at it with me. The thief. Well, who's the thief? We can certainly say Satan. We can certainly say Satan. We can say Satan's minions. We can say anybody that Satan is using can be a thief. Amen? The thief comes. What does a thief come to do? The thief comes only, look what Satan, this is his resume right here. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's what he's here for. That's what he wants to do. And like I said, he'll come as an angel of light, and he wants to deceive us, man. And if we're not on guard, we can be deceived. Raise your hands if you've ever been deceived. I've been deceived, man. I've been deceived a lot of times because I wanted to be deceived. You know what I mean? I knew what the right way was to go, but I wanted to do what Paul Rupp wanted to do, and I went in a bad direction. Amen? And Satan was right there to help me on that journey. Can I get a witness? The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. But this is what Jesus came to do, man. 1,000 may fall at one side, 10,000 at the other side. Listen to me, guys, but this is what Jesus came to do. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So here we are. Here we are. We're Christian folks, man. We're Christian people. We love Jesus. We're not perfect folks. We've accepted that perfect gift. And God says, listen, I don't want you to just have life. I don't want you to just have salvation. Not that that's a little thing. There's nothing bigger or better than that. But he says, you don't have to walk around just waiting for you to take your last breath down here. He says, I want you to have the abundant life, man. And that's not talking about, man, you know, God wants you to be a bazillionaire and all that stuff. You know, God will give you a lot of good stuff like that if it's not going to hurt your relationship with him. Like, look, there's some things, man, that I wouldn't mind having. You know what? But it wouldn't be good for me to have those. It wouldn't be. I don't want anything that's going to take me away from my relationship with the good Lord. You know what I mean? So God does meet our needs, and God does bless us in a lot of amazing ways. But when we're talking about the abundant life, I want you to hang out with me for a few minutes. Talking about abundant life, I'm talking about I'm having peace when 1,000 have fallen at one side and 10,000 on the other side. I can have joy. Yeah, I can have joy in my heart no matter what's going on in my life. When the doctor says something crazy, when I just lost a very dear friend, when I don't know how I'm going to put food on my table, I can still have that abundant life. I can still have peace and joy because I belong to the Most High God. You see what I'm saying? That's a blessing that we have because we're in the family. But, you know, sometimes we won't receive that peace or that joy. We'll just walk around, you know, miserable Christian sometimes. You ever done that before? You're saved by grace and you love Jesus, but man, you are just carrying the burdens of the world on your back sometimes. I've been like that, man, where I was just getting by, man. You know what I mean? And God didn't want me to be like that. God didn't want me to walk around with all these burdens. That's why the good book says, cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. So we can have that abundant life. We can have that joy and that peace and have that peace that surpasses all understanding in the deepest, darkest times of our life. People can look at us and say, man, what's going on with Travis, man? How's he doing so good? I know what just happened to him last week. And woo, doctor must have gave him some of that fancy stuff. He's doing good. No, Travis is trusting the Most High God. And when we trust in the Most High God, we can have peace that surpasses our understanding. You ever been like that? You're like, man, I should be really freaking out right now. But you know what? I'm trusting in the Lord. My dog ate my glasses this week. Yeah, he did. He did, and that's not that big of a deal to you guys, but in my little world, that was a major deal. So Sunday night, I had to leave and go help somebody real late at night. When I got home, I put my glasses on the little table right beside the bed like I always do. And Rachel Jean came in the room Monday morning, and I was in a dead hard sleep, man. I sleep really, really good on like Sunday nights, man. And Rachel Jean busted in the door, and she's like, you're going to be so upset. I'm like, why? What's going on? And she's like, Marie, which is my dog, my big, dumb, beautiful, mastiff bulldog. She's so dumb and so sweet, and I love her so much. But she snuck into the room, grabbed my glasses, that's all she did, and took them out in the living room and devoured them. Now, to me, that is a huge deal for me, man. I'm not one of you cats that can be like, well, let me put my spectacles on so I can look at this. You know, I'm not one of those that half the time I got them on, half the time I don't. I got to have me specs, you know what I mean, to see. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is horrible, horrible. I've only just now started talking to that dog again. I was so mad at her. And I actually remember, I was sleeping, and I remember the dog, because the dog's just a big, big dummy, and she's so sweet, but she just knocks the door in, and comes in the room, and so I kind of open my eyes a little bit. I'm like, what is she doing? And she was in the room for about 4 or 5 seconds. Man, she came in there with a mission, man. That's what hurts, man. That's what hurts. The deception. What's it called when somebody it was just an out and out betrayal, Danielle. The dog knew what it was doing. Came in there, grabbed my glasses, and snuck out with them, knowing I was asleep. So, anyways. There was a point, but I can't remember what it was. But anyways, I'm wearing some old specs. God is good. I had this old prescription from like 6 years ago. So, and there's stains on it or burns on it from where firecracker blew up on my face. Yeah. Be safe with firecrackers. There's a reason why they don't sell them in Florida. There really is. But anywho, God is good. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. I'm just blessed to have this old pair of glasses. And there was a point to all that, but maybe it'll come back to me. Anyways, let's get into the Word of God. 1,000 may fall at your side, then 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, so Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his thing, man. All right, but God comes to give us abundant life. You know what I mean? God comes that we may have life. So in the eternal, let's look at our eternity right now, okay? Looking at my eternity, there's thousands, not 10,000s, not just 1,000 plus 10,000, not 11,000, but countless people every day are passing away and going to their eternity somewhere. That's going on right now. People are passing away. Okay? But see, when I belong to the Lord, this is the big time blessing of our life right here. You know what I'm saying? I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. No, I'm not a perfect person, but every day it's more of God and less of myself. You know what I mean? And if I should die before I wake, if I don't make it to the end of this day, guess what? It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right for me. I don't have to fear death. Even if people are passing away all around me, I have peace with God. I know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Amen? So that's a blessing that we have, man. People might be passing away all around us, and they are. I go to hospitals all the time, man. See it happen all the time. Did a funeral this week. I do funerals all the time. We all know plenty of people in here have lost friends last week. I've talked to you. I know about that. Okay, but see, we have that blessed assurance that no matter what happens to us, it's going to be all right. Think about that as I read this. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Amen. Satan can't have you. Isn't that wonderful? Man, that's good news, guys. But see, here and now, let me say here and now. I want to say nasty now and now, like Preacher Fred used to say. But here and now, we have this wonderful blessing too, man. God doesn't leave us. He hasn't abandoned us. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. He's with me. He's not going to give me more than I can handle. I may have to go through the river, and the water might be getting high, but it's not going to overtake me. Amen? I got to trust in him. And yes, we will go through hard times. Look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. If you don't think that you're going to go through hard times as a Christian, I don't know why in the world you would ever think that, but looky here. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That goes back to the whole thing right there, man, that God chastens those he loves. You know, I'm in the family of God. So God's going to let me go through a lot of stuff to bring me to a level of maturity. You know what I mean? But also, Satan does not like me. Satan hates my guts. There's nothing Satan can do to God. You guys understand that, right? Satan can't touch God. Satan is a fallen angel. He is nothing compared to the creator of the universe. Now, what Satan wants to do, the next best thing for Satan is to mess with God's chosen people. God's prized possession, God's masterpieces, me and you, his people, those that have accepted Jesus Christ. So he wants to make our life miserable. He wants to get us to do all kinds of stupid stuff. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You see what I'm saying? But God is good. God is faithful. So give him some praise like Aunt Maple. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Is everybody doing okay? All right. Man, I've been preaching for 20 minutes now. So, Psalm 91 and verse 8. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. I like that word, recompense. Recompense. So life's crazy, life's hard. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But see, God takes care of his people. Okay? God takes care of his people. Now, that doesn't mean everything's going to work out the way you want it to work out. Can work out God's way. Amen? You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. So, who is the wicked? The wicked, are we talking about Mao Zedong? Are we talking about Pol Pot? We talking about Charlie Manson? We talking about Hitler? We're talking about Stalin? Sure, we're talking about all them people, sure. But we're also talking about that person that decides, that I don't need that precious gift. I don't need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's pretty cut and dry. If we don't accept that gift, we are rejecting that gift. Okay? And God made a way for this people, for His creation, to be saved. God doesn't wish that anybody would perish. So He made a way for us to be saved. And it was the blood of His precious Son that made it available for us to be saved. So, you will see the recompense of the wicked. What is this paycheck for the wicked? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So aren't we blessed this morning? Aren't we blessed? Yes. You know, it's not that we're the best people in the world. It's not that, you know, it's nothing like that, man. But we've accepted that gift, that wonderful, precious gift. So now we get to go to heaven. Amen. For the wages of sin is death. So the recompense for the wicked is death. Well, that's kind of stupid, preacher. That's kind of dumb because, you know, my mom all died and Aunt Mabel died and all these people died and they weren't... I'm not talking about that kind of death, okay? We're all going to go that way. If the Lord tarries, every single one of us are going to go that way. You know what I mean? It's talking about the second death. It's talking about the worst imaginable thing possible. More than we could ever even begin to imagine. Torment beyond torment, okay? That is what's waiting for anybody that rejects Jesus Christ, okay? So, if you know somebody, pray for them. Witness to them that hasn't accepted that gift. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Now, I like that part, but then also I don't like that part. You will see with your own eyes the recompense of the wicked. So we live in this world, man, where people do nasty, harmful, evil things to us. Behind our back or right to our face sometimes. You know, there's so much wrongs in this world. I worked at this shelter as a social worker guy for homeless and troubled kids for almost 6 years, man. And man, that stuff right there, you begin to see the worst of the worst in people, man. You see things that are done to innocent kids. You see how little kids are turned into something else because of what they've been through. You see all this crazy stuff happening right before they turn 18 and then they get in real big trouble. You know what I mean? And you see, it is just so unfair, the torment and the pain that people put on little kids. It's unimaginable. And we live in the world where that goes on all the time. You know what I mean? That's just one little part of it. But see, God says that the wicked will get their day in court, and it ain't going to be good. And we're going to have our day in court as well, but guess what? We got Jesus Christ. We got Jesus Christ as our lawyer. He's like, no, He's with me. He's with me. You know, so we do have a reason to rejoice. But see, we will, everybody that's ever done one of these evil things that has not accepted Jesus Christ is going to have their time of judgment, and it ain't going to be pretty. Now, see, I've done a lot of bad things, man, a lot of really, really bad things that I'm not proud of. See, I'm forgiven of that stuff, man. I belong to the Most High God now. But see, look at this little tiny piece of justice. Those that have murdered God's people, those that have done these wicked things, man, we will see with our own eyes them get theirs. It's kind of crazy to think about, and we should not really get any joy over that. But God says, you don't have to lose any sleep about all these wrongs. You give them to me, and I'm going to work it out in the end. Isn't that wonderful?
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. God is good. Quick, somebody do the Heimlichs. Okay, you will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Can you back that up? Yeah, Proverbs 29:16, look right there. When the wicked increase, transgression increases. Man, that is a true statement right there, buddy. When the unrepentant or the unsaved, they feel safe in numbers and right out in the open, we see, okay, let me say it like this. The things that used to happen in the dark alleyways are right there out in the open now. You know what I mean? And we can get sick to our stomach about it. And we can get on our pedestal and judge people and all sorts of stuff. But you know what? We need to pray for those people. Amen. Because there will be a time of judgment for those people that don't love Jesus. Okay? Now look, this is certainly a true statement. When the wicked increase, when there gets more and more of them, transgressions increase. Our sinlessness, our sins increase. I remember the old man, my old man, my pops, my dad. I remember when he would talk to me about the future of television and all that. And he's like, one day you'll have flat screen TVs, my boy. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. But he's like, you watch. You see how they're starting to make a little bit of fun of the Christians right here on TV? He really said this years and years ago. And I was like, oh, give me a break, Dad. Whatever. I mean, I didn't say that to him. But I thought he was like kind of a little just like, I don't know about that. He said, you see how they're starting to poke a little bit fun at the Christians? Watch, pretty soon the Christians are not going to just be having a little fun poked at them, but they're going to be evil. They're going to be stupid. They're going to be the laughing stock on television and stuff like that as they condition us. Yeah? And he was absolutely right. Now, I do have to say this. A lot of Christians have given the unsaved a lot of ammunition by doing stupid stuff, man. By falling so big, and we can get mad at the big preachers of the 80s and some in the 90s that fell. They got at the pinnacle and they fell and big sin and caused this big stink and gave the world all kind of ammunition to use against us. But you know, I was thinking the other day, what about if, you know, me or you guys, if we were in the spotlight, you know, we would have that same opportunity, man. You know, I've done so many things that are not good witnesses, man. You know, so none of us. None of us are perfect. We just serve a perfect God. Amen? So anywho, when the wicked increase, transgressions increase, but the righteous, this is us, the righteous, we love Jesus, man, but the righteous, we are set aside for the Lord. We want to be holy because He is holy. But the righteous will look upon their downfall. There'll be a time and place when we see God's judgment on the ungodly. Okay? Let's not get joyful about that, but no, God's going to work everything out. Now, we have a job to do. You know, we need to be spreading that gospel. Amen? You know, the Bible says, pray for those who persecute you. That's kind of hard to do. You ever done that? But the more you do it, the easier it gets, and you get peace, and you get deliverance. True story. I used to be bound by hatred so bad. Anyways, that's another sermon topic. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, 1,000 may fall at one time, 10,000 at the other, but it won't come near you. That's a good statement. You will see the recompense of the wicked. How's this going to happen? Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. Man, there's a lot going on in that verse, guys. I know you're getting sleepy. I know you're getting tired, but this is good news, man. This is so good. Let me ask you this morning. Have you made the Most High your dwelling place? Have you decided that I am going to stick with the Lord? Okay? I'm in it for the long haul, man. You know, I love God. Even when the persecution comes, I'm sticking with Him, man. Even when things aren't working my way, I'm sticking with Him. Because it's like what the disciples said. You know what I mean? Jesus was like, you guys going to leave too? Everybody was leaving Jesus. Everybody was leaving Jesus. They started to realize, hey, this ain't just about all the miracles and stuff. But the Lord wants something out of me too. You know, He wants me to be obedient to His word. And all the followers, all the massive throngs of people were like, I'm out of here, man. Yeah. So Jesus turns to the inner core. He's like, you guys going to leave too? Like, where will we go? There's nothing without you. You have eternal life. Nothing else. You know what I mean? So here we are, man. You can try and do it on your own. The choice is yours. Okay? But if we make the Most High our dwelling place, man, it's all going to work out. It's all going to be gravy. Does that mean everything's going to work out the way I want it to? No, not at all. Not necessarily. You know what I mean? It's going to work out God's way, the best way. Amen. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, can we do that this morning? Do y'all want to make that commitment? Can we sign a petition? No, we're not going to do that. But think about it. Can you decide that no matter what happens in my world, that I'm going to stand with Jesus. I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. I don't care what anybody says about me. I don't care what kind of laws are passed. I am a servant of the Most High God, and that's just who I am. Amen? Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. So you can try and do it on your own, or you can put your trust in chariots and horses, or you can put your trust in the Most High. Think about that. You can trust in your bank. Yeah, that money could go away tomorrow. You can put your trust in your insurance. You might lose that tomorrow. Put your trust in your physical health. Well, you know how that turns out. You know what I mean? Or you can put your trust in the Most High God. He is a rock, man, and he's not going anywhere. Can I get a witness? Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. What a beautiful, beautiful statement. Romans 10 and verse 11. This is good. For the scripture says, this is Paul talking about something in the Old Testament in Psalm 25. For the scripture says, everyone, this is so good, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Think about that, man. You put your trust in the Most High God, you will not be put to shame. People might tease you. People might think you're dumb. People might think you believe in fairy tales. There'll be a time and place when they're like, oh, you know what? Sister Crystal she was right. Amen. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. I like that. I'm just saying. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. If you turn to Job, I don't think it's on the monitor. You don't have to, but if you want to, if you're familiar with the scripture, you can run to Job real fast. No, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'm going to read something to you. Let me make this point clear. Satan doesn't have free reign. Satan can't do everything he wants to do. Okay, and you'll see that in a number of places in the scripture, but you see a real, really cool example of that in the book of Job, right in the first chapter, where all the angels are before the Lord, and Satan's there. And let me just read this verse. Oh, well, no, let me explain a little bit. Okay, there was a guy named Job, and he was a righteous guy. You might know about Job, you might not. He was a righteous guy. There was no one like him. He loved the Lord. He served the Lord. Matter of fact, he was so devoted to the Lord that God really blessed him, man. God could entrust him with a lot of financial blessings and stuff like that. He was just super, super blessed. And he was so devoted to the Lord. So one day, God's talking to the angels, and there's Satan. He's like, so, Satan, what you been up to? Paraphrase. Oh, I've been going all over trying to look what I can mess up. And God's like, well, what about Job? You ever think about my servant Job? He's like, yeah. Yes, I do. Yes, I do think about Job. All the time I think about Job. But I can't get to Job. Because you got a hedge of protection around him. So here we are. We're God's people, man. Satan cannot come at you at every single angle. He cannot wipe you out. He can't do everything he wants to do. God has got to sign off on it. Does that make sense? Job 1 and verse 10. Have you not? This is Satan. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? Isn't that awesome? Satan's not all-powerful. He's a fallen angel. He's good at what he does. He's been doing it for a long time. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He likes to lie. He likes to manipulate. Okay, but we get in plenty of trouble without him just fine. Okay, anywho, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, verse 10, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. Isn't that good? No plague come near your tent. So whether we're talking about God's judgment, like, look at Egypt, man. Egypt, okay, let me say it like this. We have the children of Israel who were in slavery in Egypt. We had God's people, I'm about to wrap up. We had God's people who were in slavery in Egypt, okay? So God unleashed all these plagues against the Egyptians and systematically made all the false gods of Egypt look so silly. They worshiped the Nile. God turned the Nile into blood. They worship the frog. I'll give you more frogs than you can handle. You know, all this stuff, man, God was showing them there's only one God. There's only one true God. Anything else is folly and ridiculous. But see, the point I'm trying to make is Satan can't do everything he wants to do. And no matter what happens in our world, in the world where we have hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, floods, killer bees, terrorism, wars, all this crazy stuff, God says, I know who's mine and I know who's not mine. Okay? So, when all this stuff was going on in Egypt, and yes, the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt, so they were in Egypt when all this was going on. But guess what? Those plagues weren't messing with them. The plagues weren't messing with the children of Israel. The plagues weren't affecting God's people. Does that make sense? They were in the land of Goshen, and God said, that's my people, and you guys do not belong to me. Matter of fact, you are coming against my people. Okay, Exodus 8 and verse 22 right there. But on that day, I will deal differently with the Lord. But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen. That's where God's people were. Where my people live, no swarms of flies will be there so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land. Isn't that good? So yeah, man, we live in crazy times, man. Crazy, crazy times. People are doing evil things right out in the open. And I'm talking about people are out in the open just doing evil stuff, man, talking really bad about Christians and stuff like that, where it used to not be so bold and arrogant. It's more behind the scenes talking bad. But we live in a day where it's not the best time in the world to be a Christian. But it is the best time in the world to be a Christian. Anyways, God is good, right? Let's finish this up here. We go ahead and you guys can start preparing the clam dip in the apple butter so we can feast. I'm playing. We're not doing any of that. Psalm 91 and verse 11. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Man, that's a verse, you guys. We need to claim that for our families, man. 1,000 may fall at one side, 10,000 on my other. But you know what, man? My God is with me. And his angels are going to watch over me. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to claim. What a wonderful statement that God makes. That he has all the armies of heaven at his disposal. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he says, I know who my kids are, and I know who do not belong to me. Okay? And I got my hand of protection over my people. Okay? And God's not going to allow anything to come your way that's not beneficial to your relationship with him and for his glory. Amen? Now, I do have to say this in closing. Sometimes we can kind of run out of God's protection. I don't mean he will run out of that protection like, ooh, I gave all my protection to Southeast Asia this week. I'm sorry, I can't help you guys. No, it don't work that way. I'm saying you get out of God's will and be dealing with some awful, painful consequences. You know what I mean? And thank God's picking on you. He's not picking at you at all. You've just decided that you didn't want to be obedient to the Lord. You want to do something your own way. And so now you have to deal with that. Amen. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm going to back it up real fast. This is what we're shooting for, guys. Psalm 1 in verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, take or sit in the company of mockers. What's that talking about? I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm a pilgrim passing through. There should be something a little different about me. I'm not saying you can't have unsafe friends. I got slews of unsafe friends. I got a lot of unsafe friends. You know what I mean? I don't feel like I should not have unsafe friends. You know what I mean? That's part of our mission field right there. You know what I mean? But see, we gotta be on guard when we're in the world to understand that, you know what? I am here to please God, not here to please man, not here to fit in. You know what I mean? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Verse 2, this is what we're shooting for. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord? Is anybody in here, raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand. Is your delight, honestly, in the Word of God? Do you really delight and love to spend time in God's Word? Well, if we don't delight in that, that's what we want to shoot for. And sometimes we got to make ourselves, man, get into the Word. Got to make sure we get into the Word. Spend some time in the Word. And then you develop a habit, like, I'm going to do this. And you do have to push through sometimes. But eventually, when you let it minister to you, and I'm talking truth here, man. The more you let it feed you, the more you're like, I need to read the Word. Before I go do this, I need to spend some time in the Word. Okay? And that's what we do, man. That's we're Christians, man. We spend time in the Word of God. All right? You ever heard that statement? That guy's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. I don't think any of us are anywhere near close being no earthly good. You know, I'm not. I'm not at all. You know what I mean? We need to spend time in the Word. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That's what we need to do, man. So here's the Christian world, man. God says He wants His people to pray without ceasing, to constantly kind of be in prayer all the time. Well, how in the world do you do that? I don't know about you, preacher, but I got to make money. I got to make a living. I got to go to work. I got to do this. I can't sit on my duff all day and pray. No, it's not really talking about that, man. It's talking about, you know, have that attitude of prayer in everywhere you're at, you know. And that's not difficult to do. That's something you make yourself do, too. And eventually your life is like that, man. I'm praying. God, work this out. God, You were good. Just praising God all the time. Not that I do it perfectly, because I certainly don't. But, man, there's a big blessing, man, when we're in this world. You want to keep yourself from making a bunch of stupid decisions and acting the fool? Man, spend a lot of time with the Lord, man. Stay prayed up. Have a, you know, when you're driving around. I found this out when I was, like, driving 45 minutes to work and then 45 minutes home. Man, that's an awesome time, man, to listen to, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd, man. Now, I mean, you can certainly do that, but it's an awesome time to spend time with the Lord. You know what I mean? You're stuck in a vehicle. Why not spend some time with the Lord? Spend some time in prayer. Don't have your eyes closed. Don't keep your eyes closed, man. Just spend time with the Lord. Listen to the preacher, man. Pray. Anyways, we better get going here. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His law day and night. So spend time in prayer. Think about God's Word. Think about God's Word. Day and night. Now, this is what's going to happen for us, man. This is what we want. That person who's not a man pleaser, that person who's different from the world, that person who loves the Lord, who's going to spend time in God's Word, is going to be able to be a blessing to other people. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. What a wonderful thing, man. So, man, I'm in the land of Goshen. Things might be going crazy around me, but I'm God's person. I'm God's child. I love God. When things get shaky, I'm trusting in God. I'm staying in his Word. And guess what? I'm going to be like a tree planted by streams of water. So like in an arid desert, nasty place. I mean, no offense if you like arid, dusty, nasty places. But, you know, man, there's not a lot of trees and stuff in the desert. But what are you looking for when you're going through the desert, man, and your donkey done died 3 miles back? You're looking for an oasis, man. You're looking for, and what are you looking for? You're looking for a tree planted by water so you can run to it. Okay, that's us, man. That's us. Our roots are deep into the Word of God. We're trusting the Word of God. We're meditating on the Word of God. We're spending time with the Word of God. In other words, we have made the Most High God our dwelling place. You see what I'm saying? I'm hanging out with the Lord, man. Putting my trust in Him. Doesn't matter what comes my way. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have provision. And if something happens that I don't expect, something happens that I don't approve of, listen, my God's still in control. And He knows who's His and who's not. Amen? Thank You, Jesus. Let's close with this. Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He knows who are His babies and who are not. Well, I don't know. I don't read the Bible every day. God still knows who's His babies and who's not. I'm talking about, this is a good thing for us to do. Well, you read the Bible for about 45 minutes every Sunday to me. Well, that's good. We're hanging out together. We're growing in relationship together. Iron sharpening iron and all that sort of jazz. But see, you guys we need to have our own Bible study, our own time in the Word. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. Isn't that wonderful? God knows who His babies are and who are not. and God is there for his people. Bottom line, God is there for his people. Amen? Jesus, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we want to be what you've called us to be, Lord. That we don't want to have a spirit of fear, Lord. That we want to trust in you. In these uncertain times, we know that you are our rock. That you will never leave us or forsake us, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we have a hunger for your word. And we know that your word is true, Lord. And we know that you will never, ever, ever abandon us, Lord, or get tired of us. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. I have a...